calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. And welcome again to Cottage Talk. This is a special episode of the show. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and David Hulley. In just a few minutes, we will be joined by Wayne Vesey of Football Insider, who will be sharing with us the most up-to-date information on the managerial search for Fulham. Again, I talked to Wayne offline, and he will be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about what he has learned about what's going on with the club. I look forward to speaking with him. But before we do anything, guys, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. David, how you doing?
Hiya. Interested to hear what's got to be said, Russ. Hi, Mike. Hi, everyone.
David, I'm very much looking forward to what Wayne has to share with us. It should be a very interesting interview once he does join us. But before we do anything else and get to really talk about this, I have to welcome Mike back to the show. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Russ. Hi, David. Yeah, really good. Just made it back from Craven Cottage, actually, because I was at a meeting with the club and the police regarding the Brentford game. So from one Fulham thing to another tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, guys, while we wait for Wayne, let's just talk about this because, again, Fulham go into this next match without a head coach. Again, we have caretaker head coach Peter Grant basically in charge of the team against Nottingham Forest on Saturday. Again, while we wait for Wayne, Mike, I want to get your thoughts. How do you feel about how this process has all played out? We are now going into the third game without a manager or a head coach.
Well, I mean, it's unacceptable, really. I mean, you know, almost a month since we sacked Kit and do it at international break, so you've got time to bring someone in. I'm not sure when the next international break is. I think it's March, so I wouldn't be surprised to see us bumble along until then. Totally unacceptable, and I would expect Khan to be taking action. If not immediately, I would have thought, you know, at the end of the season, because this has just made a laughing stock of us. And it's the uncertainty for players, the coaches at the club, the fans, and, you know, maybe not everyone else is laughing at us, but the fans are laughing at the management of the club, that's for sure.
Yeah, listen, it's been a tough several weeks here. You know, I actually thought this would have been taken care of weeks ago, and it hasn't, and Fulham go into this next match with Peter Grant in charge, and he's doing his best. You know, you got to give Peter credit, Mike, because he can only do with a limited time that he has to work with the team, but it certainly is unacceptable. David, what have you made of this situation? Again, we've talked about this several times. We're about to hit the third match without a head coach or manager. I mean, it's completely unacceptable.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's pitiful. Anything you really want to say, any negative kind of adjective or whatever, it's just not good enough. And, you know, I think for some people it's gone beyond being laughing stock. It's just, you know, got to the point of it's, I don't know, just mind-numbing really now that it's been like this. I mean, you know, Peter Grant hasn't exactly set the world on fire, but obviously he's playing, you know, he's got a limited hand. He's got one hand behind his back. He knows he's not going to be here that long. No stability for anyone in the club, really. It's just very, very poor, extremely poor. It just looks completely, you know, unplanned, unorganised, disorganised, every other bit of not organised, really. You know, it really does, and I don't think anyone comes out of it, you know, smelling of roses, really. I mean, not from the owner, not for Mike Rigg. Yeah, not for anyone. The communications have been poor. You know, everybody, really, at the club is, you know, I'm shell-shocked, I suppose. If you know, either people are just responsible for this mess because they haven't done their jobs properly or they haven't planned, or they're just shell-shocked and embarrassed by the way things are going and, you know, it's just difficult, isn't it? It's for all of us, and it's, you know, we'd be lucky to have someone in place by the international break the way it's been going. You know, the number of refusals we've had, there's going to be no one left to appoint. So, you know, for me, I just got to point, it's gone beyond the eight ball or whatever your expression is over there. It's, you know, I'm I've just given up caring, really, now. I really have. It's just get someone in if you want. Don't get someone in if you don't want, because it's just too much for me.
Okay, well, it has been too much for me as well, David. I certainly understand your frustration and Mike's as well. And listen, I understand why you're feeling the way that you are, totally. But let's see if we can get some answers. And joining us now is Wayne Vesey, who's the editor for Football Insider. Wayne, welcome back to Cottage Talk.
Hi, Russell. How are you?
I am well. I have two of my co-hosts on the line with us, and they'll be asking you questions. But before I let them ask you what they want to ask you, just share with us what you've learned up to this point, because, again, you told me that you have breaking news on the managerial search with Fulham. So please just share with us what you know.
Yeah, I mean, what I know is that, I mean, some of the things I just caught the tail end of your chat there. I mean, it's correct that four managers have rejected Fulham following talks over the last couple of weeks. Three of those got quite advanced, the other one not so advanced. And Fulham have now targeted another manager and will hold talks with that manager.
Okay, very good. And before we get into specific names, you know, and I'll have my co-host ask you specific names, I have one that you and I have talked about offline. A name that has been linked a great deal has been the former Brentford manager, Mark Warburton, or head coach, whichever title he was using then. What can you tell us about Mark Warburton?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw Mark Warburton's sort of tweets earlier today. Quite bizarrely, he went onto his personal Twitter account and said he had never held talks with Fulham and he wasn't going to be the new Fulham manager and was never interested in being a new Fulham manager. The only part of that tweet that was correct was that he will not be the new Fulham manager. That is true, but he did hold talks with Fulham. They approached him quite some time ago, had quite extensive talks both last week and start of this week, and Mark Warburton decided not to take it further, and Fulham decided not to take it further. You know, it was kind of a joint enterprise from both parties. So for Mark Warburton to say he held no talks at all is an outright lie, which isn't unusual in the world of football, but so be it. That is the case. And I mean, what is true is he will not be the new manager. That's now dead in the water. And Fulham, from what I understand, are quite disappointed in the whole way that Warburton's handled the situation, which isn't unusual for Warburton, because last season, shortly before he left Brentford, he spent quite a lot of time trying to get the job at Norwich, which he didn't get in the end. So, you know, he's got kind of past form on that. And then the Football Village, which is quite sort of, is smaller than what you might think it actually is. Word gets around, and Fulham aren't too impressed with Warburton's conduct.
Okay, very good. And again, I know we're going to be looking forward, but I do want to look back. Again, there was all this speculation with Gary Rowett. You said that four managers turned them down. Was Gary Rowett one of them?
Yes, yeah. Gary Rowett, of all the four, it was Rowett and Steve Clarke were the two closest. As I said on your show 10 days ago, Steve Clarke agreed the terms of a contract and then went back, tried to get more money, and Shahid Khan was unwilling to pay more money, and so that didn't happen. And then with Gary Rowett, that also got very close. The sticking point with Gary Rowett was it was a legal issue, and he wanted his contract to be indemnified by Fulham, basically whereby he would get a payment by Fulham were he to be sacked in the future, which is quite unusual. I mean, when I first sort of was told this, I thought, well, is that quite normal in football? Because obviously all managers are eventually going to be sacked unless you're Arsene Wenger. But no, it's quite unusual. And Fulham basically went willing to indemnify Gary Rowett. So that's why that deal didn't happen. That was very close, and Fulham thought he was of all the four. Actually, he was on the radar very early on. And yes, Pearson has the sort of superior track record, because obviously he's got promotion, he kept Leicester up last season, and you know, with excellent sort of management and everything else. But Rowett really, really fitted the bill, even though he hasn't got a promotion. His, the sort of the way he sets up his teams, the way he sort of conducts himself, sort of fitting into the Fulham structure, the head coach structure, they really, really liked him, and he was on the radar from day one. So I think of all the four, none of them were more disappointing than Rowett.
Okay, very good. And it's funny, because I thought it was Steve Clarke that they were closest to, but according to you, it was actually Rowett. Very interesting there, Wayne. Before, again, I turn you over to my co-host, we're going to ask you several names, and you could answer if this is one that is close to happening. I want to talk to you a little bit about the structure, because there's been talk about the structure of Fulham Football Club. It's funny, we were going to be doing a show talking about the structure of the club. You had mentioned to me off-air that things could be changing a little bit. Could you share with us what you've learned about the structure of the club?
Well, in terms of structure, the Fulham owner, Shahid Khan, and Mike Rigg, they're both very keen and agreed upon the head coach structure. Nevertheless, they also are quite keen on sort of a senior football figure working alongside this head coach. And that won't be Alan Kirbishley, by the way, because that's probably going to be your next question. The information I have is Alan Kirbishley won't be at Fulham for very much longer.
Okay.
They haven't been overly impressed by sort of what he's done over the last 18 months. They brought him in to help Rennie Mullenstein. They didn't think he gave Rennie Mullenstein the support he needed, and they really, really liked Rennie Mullenstein and thought he could have been a very strong head coach for Fulham, but only working alongside someone like Kirbishley, that didn't happen. Although Kirbishley stayed on as a consultant, he won't be staying on for much longer. But they do want a senior football figure alongside the new head coach. So the information I have is that Mike Rigg flew out to Holland last weekend, and he spoke to three very famous Dutch football men. And while nothing was agreed on that, and while nothing is definite on that, there is a possibility in the future, I think, of a senior football figure from Holland being involved at Fulham.
Okay, but if I'm understanding you correctly, Wayne, it wouldn't be as a head coach, maybe a senior advisor?
Yes, there would be something like that. And what the exact role would be, I don't know. It could end up being manager, because basically they're looking at bringing in, or they're targeting Stuart Gray. They're targeting Stuart Gray to
okay.
be a head coach. And whatever happens with this role, this sort of senior advisor they want to bring in, Stuart Gray will be staying on at the club as they envisage it. So it's not like a Rennie Mullenstein situation where they lose 8 out of 12 games and he gets a sack. That's not what's going to happen here. Stuart Gray, were they to agree a deal? They haven't agreed a deal yet. He's just been targeted, and it's very much the early stages. Were they to agree a deal, then with Stuart Gray, he will stay on at the club, whatever happens in terms of future structure. And there is a possibility it could be this Dutch figure who could be a sort of a Yapstam, Clarence Seedorf, Dick Advocaat, that kind of person.
Okay, very good. Very interesting with what's going on. So they're targeting Stuart Gray, but he just might be someone as being part of the staff where he just might
yes.
not end up being the man. Wayne,
yes.
is that what I'm understanding from you eventually?
Yeah, that's right, Russ. I mean, Stuart Gray is... I've seen a few comments today on message boards and on Twitter, social media, etc., saying he's dour, he's, you know, grey by name, grey by nature, which is slightly unfair because, he isn't sexy. He's not Martin Jol, not even Rennie Mullenstein, not even Kit Simons. You know, he's not sexy. He's 55 years old. He's been around the block. Nevertheless, if you take away public perception and the media skills and the media savvy skills, he's a good coach. and Fulham have got lots of good coaches. They've got four very good, well, was if Gray is to get this post, they'll have four very good coaches who are as good as any in the Championship and possibly as good as many in the Premier League, because they've already got Mark Pembridge, they've already got Steve Wigley, and there's another one. One of your gentlemen will know this better than me. There is another very highly rated coach as well. His name will come back to me in a sec. Who's the other one? Peter Grant, of course. So they've got three highly rated coaches, and if Gray's coming as well, you know, throughout the whole setup, they'll have coaches who can improve players, get the respect of senior players, and get them on board and improve them as footballers, which is very important. But the
okay,
issue,
very interesting here.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to hand this over to my co-host. David, I'll start with you. What questions do you have for Wayne here?
I suppose the first thing we should say, Wayne, is, you know, as a validation thing, is how do you have so much inside knowledge compared to everybody else?
I've been doing this game for a while, Dave, so, you know, I have good sources. I can't tell you everything I know either. So, you know, I have good sources, and it's, you know, that's the job of a journalist, isn't it, to get good information.
No, and that's right. If you are in that situation, you're doing your job a lot better than everyone else, because there's been all sorts of speculation and names thrown about in the press. Some of it's been complete rubbish, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, some of it has been complete rubbish. Also, some of it's been correct. So, you know, Clark was close, which I wrote. Rowett was close, which I wrote. And Pearson was close, which I wrote. That was all fact. But there are some names out there which is absolute baloney. And, you know, like Hasselbank was never close. That was Hasselbank's agent, Robert Siegel, you know, trying to get his man in the paper. Stuart Pearce has been another one mentioned today. That's just agent talk. Stuart Pearce, he's not going to be the next Fulham manager. It's nonsense. But so you're right. There are names that are nowhere near correct, but also they are working through a long list that become a short list and become a long list again.
No, I mean, I was interested by your comments about the existing coaching being highly rated.
Yes.
Which kind of makes you wonder why we're in the situation we're in at the moment.
Well, you say that, Dave, but you know, you look into how the Fulham sort of record of bringing through players and improving players. I'm talking about young players here, and this is partly the result of a very strong academy. You know, Fulham sold Patrick Roberts for initial 4.5 million. They got an extra 1 million when he made his first appearance in the Capital One Cup, and if he reaches the appearance-related targets, which aren't that high, from what I'm told, Fulham will get 11 million in total. That's a lot of money. That keeps the academy going for 3 years. And also, you've got Moussa Dembele, who Russell and I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. He's going to be another. They're going to get a lot of money for him as well. Whatever happens, even if he leaves next summer without extending his contract, they'll get a lot of money because they offered him a contract. And that means under the sort of Premier League rules, it will go to a tribunal and they'll get a lot of money. I mean, they'll get at least 5 million, I'd imagine, for him. So
they're
doing good things and maybe more. I mean, Tottenham might try and buy him in January. Tottenham will try and buy him in January. Whether Fulham will agree to it, I don't know. But there could be a loan back deal, whatever. But, you know, if he keeps scoring goals, he's going to make a lot of money for Fulham. So, you know, they're coaching players well. They've got other good.
I don't think anyone. Can't argue that our academy's done incredibly well, and Steve Wigley is one of the names that springs to mind with that. It's just, you know, we've seen
absolutely.
Mark Pembridge helping out Kit Simons and Peter Grant the last couple of weeks, and you know, there's just nothing there that's been really, really very devastatingly exciting for the fans to see. And you wonder whether, you know, you need a whole sort of clean sweep of that department.
I don't think it's... Do you mean the coaching department or do you mean recruitment or something else?
The coaching, I mean, say Mark Pembridge was coaching the first team, helping Kit, weren't doing very well. Peter Grant hasn't exactly done very well in two games. I know it's only two games and he's in a difficult situation, but two draws against two lower teams hasn't exactly been great. I mean, you'd like to think that, you know, an expert coach would have got a little bit more out of the team the last two games.
I think the issue they've got at the moment, until the new man comes in, is the players are thinking, well, I know this guy's not staying around for very long, so, you know, do I respect him? Do I give everything for him? You know, that's how players work, isn't it? So, but they are good coaches, Dave. They're, Mark Pemberton is going to go back to working with the under 21s, I think, when after the new man comes in. But, you know, they are good coaches, and it's a very, very solid setup. And I think Fulham, they are better placed than Birmingham are, because Birmingham don't have, even though, yeah, Birmingham's sixth in the league, wherever they are, but they don't have a very secure financial position, whereas Fulham will have in the future, next 2 years, a secure financial position. And, you know, I think there's a few things are going to happen in January that Fulham might not like, but I think they're quite well set up with the parachute payment, with the strong academy, and they'll sell a couple of players for big money and bring in other players. I think in 2 years Fulham will be in the Premier League, and I think that's what they think as well. It's not, you know, from what I'm told, they're very confident they will be. This season, 10th is where they probably end up, but, you know, next season I think they'll be challenging very strongly for promotion back to the Premier League.
Well, I hope you're right, mate. I really do, because, you know, this season is literally right off now, and it's been, you know, it's been very disappointing and hard to take for the typical fans like ourselves who do this show every week, because there's been so much hype and speculation, and obviously we do have the backing and we do have a large squad, and yet we're just not bearing fruit at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've been spoilt by having 13 years in the Premier League, and a lot of us obviously want to get back there again. We miss the prestige of it, although there's something kind of, you know, earthy and nice about being, you know, in one of the proper leagues again, where you're not just hyped up all the time. But, you know, we're in a situation where it's difficult. You know, we've been there, we've experienced it. We have the squad, we have the ambitions. We have the ambitions for the ground redevelopment, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, so the model is there that we need to be back in the Premier League, really, I think. You know,
right.
If you can believe all the noises coming out of, you know, out of the club, out of the ownership, that's the only way we can be there. But I think, in some ways, the longer we're not challenging back to get there, the harder it's going to get.
Well, I think, I mean, looking at social media and things like that, I know there's been a lot of criticism of Mike Rigg and, you know, sort of the decisions he's taken and the whole process, particularly of finding a new manager. But, you know, Mike Rigg has a very good track record, and also he's very, very well connected. You know, I don't know how much you sort of follow Man City and what he did at Man City, but, you know, effectively he was the Siki Begiristan of his day. He was effectively the director of football at Man City. It was Mike Rigg who, you know, bought Balotelli and Yaya Toure in the same hotel in the same day. He did all those deals. You know, Mike Rigg can get Georgie Mendes and Mino Raiola on the phone very easy, which you might think, well, yeah, they're agents, that's the job of the director of football, but it's not that easy. You know, Georgie Mendes runs football in Spain, doesn't he, pretty much? So, you know, he's very, very well connected, and I think that will bear fruit over time. And yes, I agree with you and the Fulham fans who say this process hasn't been handled right. It hasn't. They've made mistakes, and I think the biggest mistake they made was saying they'd appoint a new man within 2 weeks, and that made themselves hostage to fortune, unfortunately, and they weren't able to fulfil that, and then that's sort of lost the trust of the fans. But nonetheless, you know, Mike Rigg's been in the business for 20 years. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's well connected. That's why he got the job. And, you know, he was at the FA in a senior role before this job. I think, you know, he should be able to do this job better than Alistair McIntosh did it. And Alistair McIntosh is a very good chief executive, but chief executive has to concentrate on the commercial side as well. Whereas the director of football is just purely doing contract negotiation, transfer negotiation, manager negotiation, which is how it should be. And, you know, the chief executive can't give that all his attention. So, you know, the structure should, in theory, work okay.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, I was to hand you over to Mike Gregg so he can interrogate you for a bit. But just finally, you're saying basically that you think Stuart Gray will be our new head coach then?
If I was a betting man and I had a spare £10, I would put £10 on Stuart Gray to be the next manager. Yes.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Mike.
Well, it's interesting saying that because I'm looking at his odds at the moment and they're even, so you'll get a £10 back.
Do it.
I don't want to look back at the people we've missed out on or have refused to sign, although I do think Clark will become available again tomorrow, possibly, after today's loss. Do you think they would go back for him?
No.
Okay.
I mean, because of what he said in public, he said he was very critical of Fulham, and that didn't go down very well at all.
No, that's fine. That's good, because no one would want him anyway. The problem is, and you covered a little bit with Dave there, is that, you know, we're 20-odd days into this search, and we're now looking at Stuart Gray, who's been unemployed. You know, he lost his job in the summer, rightly or wrongly. He has an average record when he's in charge. But you're talking about a head coach and then maybe a senior figure next year. So this is all just another fudge by the club, by the sounds of it.
I didn't say senior figure next year. It could be senior figure in a month. It could be senior figure in a week. So
and
that might happen quicker than you
might
expect.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I mean, but what you're saying is there's going to be a head coach and then a senior figure, and we're going to have another fudge on who actually picks the team. That's what the fans are going to be looking at this again, you know.
Well,
we had a structure in place.
Yeah, I mean, I think what will happen is it'll depend upon the early results under the new man, which might be Stuart Gray, will be Stuart Gray. Depend upon the results. And then I think the senior football figure will be picking the team, I think, from what I hear.
So we have
say theoretically, and I don't know who this will be, by the way. Say theoretically, that is Jaap Stam. He would be picking the team. And Stuart Gray would be working as a coach alongside him.
Okay.
So that would be
But in the meantime, it's almost like another caretaker, isn't it? For a month or two. Just bumbling along again, not really knowing. You spoke about good coaches. This is the thing, and Mike Rigg can't get away with, messing this all up. And, we may have good coaches, and they're doing well with young players, but it's the senior players. You know, there's no one to look up to. You know, there's no one there with authority at the moment, and they're getting away with stuff. You can just tell on the pitch. And I don't see Stuart Gray changing that, I have to be honest.
I think Stuart Gray will have the respect of the players, actually. I think he will have the respect of the senior players. I mean, it might, and that will be fairly instant. I mean, I think the difficulty for him, if he does accept the job and it all gets sorted out, will be the possible temporary nature of it. I think that could be the difficulty.
Well, yeah, because we'd be all expecting Jaap Stam or someone else to come in. And that, of course, goes completely against what Mike Rigg mentioned right at the beginning of the search, is that they wanted a head coach and not a manager. So, you know, absolutely no, you know. I mean, I really am a little bit speechless about how he's messed this up. And we're just, you know, he's changing his... seems to be changing his plan now because he's gone through his list of four or five, and they must realise that, you know, it almost sounds like they're going to try and get a big name in to, you know, instead of the right man, just to appease the fans and to show, oh, look, I got this person. But
You could do that, couldn't you, by just appointing Harry Redknapp? Because you could appoint Harry Redknapp and then immediately everyone's like, oh, that's good. He's got a good track record. He's got charisma. So they could have done that, and Harry Redknapp was very keen and would have gone for the job. Obviously, he would have been very expensive, but they could have done that, kept the fans happy. I don't know if the fans would be happy, by the way. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm just pulling that name. But that's the kind of sort of charismatic front man that immediately appeals to a lot of football followers, doesn't it? Without necessarily being the right man. I mean, Harry Redknapp was the right man for a lot of clubs 5-10 years ago, but probably not anymore. Stuart Gray's not sexy, and he's not Fulham sexy, and Fulham have had a few sexy managers, haven't they? They've had very sexy managers, and I think that's kind of the difficulty for the fans. At least with Kit Simons, you had someone who'd come through the Fulham system, and he was young and sort of promising, whereas Milenstein, Man United, Ferguson's number two, all that kind of stuff. Even Felix McGath had you know, he was hopeless, but he had a degree of sort of charisma, didn't he? So,
Would you say that if they're banking on, I mean, Ray is unemployed, which makes a change from most of our search that we've been doing. Would you say that he's 75-95% certain, or not that high? Or
I would say higher than 95%.
Okay. And if it fails for whatever reason, he wants a big bonus or something.
No.
Any second name fullback?
I think you can stick with that name. I think you'll be all right with that name.
Fair enough. I haven't got any more questions, Wayne. It's not going to go down well, and I'm sure at the club they know this isn't the name that's going to keep the fans happy, and his record is not great. So, okay, well, thanks very much from me.
Although one thing I would say on that is, you might see the sort of synchronicity with Southampton here, because you've got, you know, there's a big Southampton link now, isn't there, at Fulham. You've got Wigley, potentially Gray, the academy director, Hugh Jennings, you know, look at Southampton. Look at Southampton now. Southampton are like the seventh or eighth best club in the Premier League, aren't they? So, you know, Fulham can easily achieve that within 2 or 3 years, I think. Easily.
And I can understand if I could believe they really understood what kind of structure they want. But already within 25 days, he's gone from having a head coach to having a head coach with a senior figure. So to me, that tells me they're just bumbling along from day to day.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe they're adapting to what's available. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I think they were unfortunate with Clark and they're unfortunate with Rowett. I think they were. And with Pearson's two assistants from Leicester wouldn't leave because they're on really good money and they're going to get huge bonuses when Leicester stay up, which they're almost about to stay up already. So they're going to get 100% bonuses. And Pearson doesn't go anywhere without Shakespeare and Walsh. So that knocked Pearson out of the water. Clark messed up because he agreed the fee and then wanted more money. He got greedy. And Rowett wanted a summer money for protection in case he lost the job. So would you blame Fulham? So if you're the Fulham owner or the Fulham director of football, should you be spending an extra 200,000, an extra 500,000 to get these guys? Do you think you should be spending an extra 200,000 to get Steve Clark?
No, I'm not. I think you need to go away from the individuals. But what he needed to do was, leading up to removing Kit, which we all knew was probably going to happen, is to do his research a bit better on the actual people who are available, or even if they're at positions. We all know agents talk, representatives talk, and it just looks as if this was done on the fly, and he's done no research. And it's, you know, the manager this week we will chase is, and so 5 weeks down the road, he's, you know, we're bumbling around for an unemployed coach.
A lot of that's true. I mean, what I would say is, they with Kit Simons, they set him a target at the start of the season, after 10 matches, after 20 matches, after 30 matches. And if he didn't hit those targets, he knew he was going to get sacked. And I said on Russ's show last time, what was it, after 20 right. matches, supposed to be...
He needed 33, didn't he?
He needed 33 after 20, Wayne, you said.
Yeah. And after 16, 20, so that was it. Gone. And he knew that. Simons knew that. He knew the target. He'd been set it, and that was it. So it wasn't like, it was a sudden decision to sack him, because it wasn't. It was just like, well, the results haven't been what the targets were. So that was it.
Yeah. Well, we have to... wait and see, won't we, Wayne? I mean, it's we appreciate you coming on and telling us all this, because it's good information that you're passing on to everyone, because the club haven't really been given as much over the last 2 weeks. And I suppose would you expect something by the weekend or after the Forest game?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think you'll be. They'll be in an announcement by the weekend. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much, Wayne.
No, listen, Wayne, I really appreciate you coming on. And, again, just to summarize, because you've dropped a good amount of information on us, one thing I do want to ask you, because you said that that Mike Rigg was meeting with three Dutch footballers. Can I give you three names and see if they match up?
Jobstam,
which you've already mentioned, Dick Advocaat, and Clarence Seedorf. Are these the three names we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
He met with them last weekend.
Okay, and to your knowledge, one of these three could potentially be the senior advisor person that could be working with the head coach if that's the direction they go.
Potentially, yes, but they could just be recommending the person who becomes that person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense too.
Conversations were had with those three. Last, I think it was Saturday, and you know, they gave their thoughts, and it's potential. It's not nailed on at the moment.
Okay, very good. All right, Wayne. Listen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. Again, I really appreciate you coming on.
No problem at all. Thanks a lot, chaps. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. Cheers,
thanks,
Wayne.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, great. That was Wayne Vesey, who's the editor for Football Insider, joining us for a good half hour, guys. And guess what, guys? We have another co-host on the line with us. Let me bring him on before we talk about this. Emilio, are you with us? Emilio, can you hear us? Okay, maybe Emilio can't hear us. So I'm just going to put him on hold so he can listen on. All right, guys. Boy, there was so much in there to really sink our teeth in. David, I'm going to start with you. What did you make of our interview with Wayne Vesey? What did you take out of it?
Well, it sounds like I appreciate what Wayne's telling us, and obviously Wayne's just passing on the news. He's not making judgment, but in some ways it sounds like it's going from bad to worse, really. You know, maybe Stuart Gray is going to be appointed as head coach, and then, you know, next week, next month, God knows when we're going to have a manager as well. A manager who's never worked with Stuart Gray. Dear me. So someone was tweeting me Stuart Pearce, so I've got it in my head, I think, yeah. So we could have Stuart Gray in as head coach very, very soon. And then a manager, perhaps, or a senior football figure, call it what you want. Someone from Holland, perhaps. And it just sounds like a bit of a shambles to me, really, like an accident waiting to happen. A bit like Rennie Meulensteen gone wrong again, you know, with Meulensteen coming in to help. But I just don't know. I mean, it makes the credibility of what, you know, the structure they're trying to set out, if this is right, you know, it makes it very hard to believe, because, you know, Rigg was very adamant, and obviously so is Shahid Khan, about this, you know, the operations director or whatever Rigg is, and then the head coach. But then if we have a head coach and then someone coming in who's going to be picking the team, I don't know what to make of it, really. It certainly gives us something to talk about, for sure. And but, you know, what you can say, if you take it from Red, is that, you know, Stuart Gray will be here very, very soon.
Okay, very good. Mike, what do you make of all of this?
Well, first of all, whether you believe Wayne or not, he's pretty much staked his, you know, his reputation on these Fulham stories by saying that Gray is 95% got the role. So I'm sure we'll find out over the next couple of days. But as I was sort of mentioning there, and, you know, sort of questioning also statements as well, it's all a mess. It's all uncertainty again. You know, you appoint Gray tomorrow as head coach, but then, you know, then they're talking about someone else coming in to oversee, help, pick the team, whatever. And that, as I said, that goes away from what was the initial job spec, and, you know, made a big thing by Mike Rigg that they want a head coach only, whether you agree with that or not.
Right.
And so if they've now changed it, then they are just making it up as they go along. And there's no way to run a team. You might be able to get away with that at the end of a season, getting ready for a pre-season to get someone in. But you can't do it in the middle of, you know, not even the middle of the season, when you're trying to, you know, win games and get towards the playoff positions. Where, you know, and so it's just the uncertainty again. So Gray comes in, and what do the players think? Oh, here's a bloke, you know, his record is average at best, whatever his coaching reputation is. But in the end, he's, whether you call it a coach, he's still a manager. He's going to pick the team, but it right. might only be up until Christmas, you know, depending on result. I mean, what a fiasco and what a joke if this is all true.
Well, if this is all true, again, that's why I'm glad that we could bring him on, because this was a little confusing, as you could tell as he was trying to explain it, because if I was understanding Wayne correctly, like he mentioned, there potentially could be a senior advisor or someone that could be also picking the team, Mike, which is interesting. Would this be then become the manager? Could the head coach, if it turns out to be Stuart Gray, just be, like you said, a caretaker until this person gets in? It just seems everything's up in the air, Mike. That's what's so confusing to me. It sounds like it's confusing to you.
All that's going to happen is Gray is going to come in, take Grant's place. Grant is going to go back to the 21s, and that's it. That's the change that's going to happen. And then in a month, if they decide, yes, we can get one of these, you know, sounds like a Dutch guy, we get one of these guys to come in and be the senior person, whatever that means, but they pick the team, then you're getting a manager, aren't you? Because you're...
Right.
So that's the annoying thing for me. That's the frustrating thing, is that is the whole job spec, the whole title thing, you know, made such a big deal about it by the club and the fans, when really, looking back, we should have just said, we're going to get someone in, a manager, someone to pick a team, whatever, but just don't use the word head coach. But... this is just a mess. And when the club come to review the end of this season, whatever happens, I reckon heads will roll.
Mike, you know, it's funny because, again, I talked to Wayne offline and he was explaining this to me. And I was thinking, I cannot wait till he drops this news, because this is confusing, like I said, interesting. That's why he wanted to mention the potential change of the structure. But, David, I'm going to go to you, because what Wayne was explaining to me, this senior person, sounds like to me, could ultimately become a manager. Is that what you were getting out of this?
Yeah, well, he's saying that this senior person would be picking the team, effectively. So, you know, this is what I'm trying to get my head around and understand, that if Gray comes in as a head coach, he's basically like a caretaker job, because if he's, I assume he's being told, well, you're going to do this for a week until Clarence Seedorf or Jack Stan or Dick Avocar or Uncle Tom Cobley takes over, you know, it's madness. You know, unless, you know, he's going to be demoted to assistant head coach and we're going to call the new person coming in, if that happens, head coach. But to me, it sounds like manager, really, to me. I mean, you can call it what you like, but, you know, it's like anything, isn't it? You can call them what you like, but when you look at the role they perform,
yep,
then that kind of designates, you know, what their job is. And it seems that there's perhaps some backpedaling going on here, or some, I don't know, treading water, or what they're doing, really. But, you know, maybe Mike Rigg has it all perfectly planned out, exactly what he wants to do, and this vision for Fulham, and the owner's right behind him. But to the rest of it just looks like, you know, I'm afraid, a cluster, you know what.
Right. And, you know, again, listening to Wayne, talking to Wayne about this, you know, I had a feeling that when he started to tell me about this, that it was just going to give us more questions than answers. And that's kind of, I think, where we are on this. I think we have more questions after talking to Wayne than we do answers. I guess we're going to have to see how this all plays out. But, Mike, before we wrap this up, because Wayne brought up something that I was thinking about, and we were going to be doing a special show, which I still want to do, talking about the structure of the club. He brought up something that was interesting to me, talking about the links to Southampton. Because if you're asking me, if they're trying to model Fulham after Southampton, I think that's the right move. But I'm still confused if that's the direction they're going in, Mike.
Well, they don't know what direction they're going in, are they? Because they're bumbling along. There is no direction at this moment in time. It is, let's get someone in and hope it works, because they've gone through their list. No, I'm baffled at what kind of structure they want. You know I'm a fan of having a director of football.
I know you are.
And that completely makes sense, but you still need a person underneath it to be picking a team. And this is this whole thing about, you know, it's almost, you could almost argue this Southampton link is the guys who have the link from Southampton saying, well, you know, Gray's available, he's a good coach, get him in and let him run the team for a month until you get your big name. And, yeah, there's just no... What are we looking for? We're looking for four managers in a season again. Wasn't that good enough 2 years ago? Just ridiculous. It really is.
Well, it's funny, Mike, because, again, this goes back to our discussion. When he's talking about that, it could be Stuart Gray, but then talking about someone else coming in on a senior role, I'm thinking exactly what you're thinking, that this is just someone being another caretaker until someone else comes in, until like you said, a potential big name comes in, or someone that they want long term. And it's just crazy. I'm glad that we could get Wayne on, but like I just said to both of you, I don't think we have any more answers than we started with when we brought Wayne on. I just think we have a ton more questions, and that's the part of this that's upsetting. Guys, before we wrap up the show, I want to get final thoughts. David, I'll start with you. Any final thoughts you want to add before we wrap this up?
Well, I was just thinking that if you're going to do another special show on the structure of the club, it's going to be the shortest cottage talk ever, because there isn't any structure.
Okay, David, very good. All right, Mike, to you, any final thoughts about this?
Yeah, if Gray is unveiled tomorrow, let's say, for example, whenever they do it, they need to really explain what is going on and what the plan is. If it's another fudge, then, you know, fans are just not going to go and just not going to buy the kits. They're just not going to be interested at all. And it's the wrong way to do things, and it's been a mess for the last 25 days.
Okay, very good. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that, Mike. You know, again, listen, I love this club. I want to see this club thrive. And, you know, I want to have faith that they know what they're doing. But right now, like I said, I've got a ton of questions. We're going to have to see how this all plays out. And, you know, and I hope that they do. Like, Mike, like you said, I hope they explain exactly what is going on here. Because based on what was told to us from Wayne Vesey, it's very muddy right now. And, I think we all want some explanations of what's going on, because I've got plenty of questions. All right, guys, listen, again, want to thank you guys for at the last minute being able to do this with me. Want to really thank Wayne Vesey from Football Insider for coming on with us tonight. And that's going to do it for this special episode of Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, thanks. Boys and girls.